If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me please to the book of Matthew. My heart is so full right now. People being saved, people being baptized, God's people loving one another, praying for one another. Let it fill a pastor's heart. I appreciate you so very much being here today. Brother Spence Powell is over at the print shop with Rock of Ages, and he will be here tonight speaking to us. And one of the men that went down told me on Friday, he said, "Pastor, I'd like to go back." And we're helping prepare that seed, Brother Don, that you preached about that needs to be planted in the field. Some putting staples in it, some cutting it, some collating it. It all has to be done. It's work. And I believe we ought to develop a theme in our lives. We'll work till Jesus comes. Find you a place in the work. Amen. And we'll work till Jesus comes. Matthew chapter 6. I'm not going to preach this in its entirety today, but I'm going to scratch at it a little bit. I appreciate the Lord. The time, Brother Thurman did a great job in Sunday school. The time is the Lord's. Amen. And let's just see what God would say to us. This is what the Lord put in my heart, especially with so many people starting out in their Christian walk. But I believe this is something that even if we've been saved for years and years, that we need to keep in the forefront of our heart, in the forefront of our mind. Stand with me, please. Stretch your legs if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. But if you're able, stand with me. I want to read one verse of Scripture just because that's where the text is. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. But seek ye first. It starts with the word but. In other words, there's a thought laid out here in the Scripture. And God says, I want you to go the opposite of that thought. I don't want you worrying about what you're going to eat. I don't want you worrying about what you're going to wear. I want you to trust me. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you haven't committed that verse to memory, let me challenge you to do that. Commit that to memory. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. But more than that, it's a wonderful way to live, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Brother Don, it's a joy to have you with us today. Would you pray for me, brother, and pray for this service?
Our Father, our heart has already been made to rejoice.
Amen. Yes, our Lord.
Give them strength and courage and wisdom to guide and direct the hearts and the minds of our youth. We pray your blessing upon each and every one of them. We pray your blessing upon the pastor today.
Yes, our Father.
Preach the blessed word of God, and may we all commit this verse to memory. Put you first in every
Amen. Life. Yes, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
We are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Don. You may be seated. Let's get right into the message today. I want to share my heart with these that have just recently been saved and been baptized and setting out to, we've got some more to baptize into the service, setting out to follow Christ. I wanted to bring this thought, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to show you in the Scripture, there's about four thoughts here. The first thought is concerning the poor. The second thought is concerning prayer. The third thought is concerning preeminence. And the fourth thought is concerning provision. And I've never looked at this. I've looked at it from verse 25 down through verse 34 before, but I've never looked at it in the entirety of the chapter. And I believe God wants us to look at it that way today. Is again, if you know your Bible and you know your pastor, I'm not going to be thorough today, but I do want to bring these thoughts because I believe it's God's will for this hour. If you look in verse number 1, the Word of God said in verse number 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I believe when a person gets saved by the grace of God, they immediately begin to get interested in others. And I believe when you look around, according to the Word of God, if you look in Proverbs, look there with me just a moment. Turn there. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 17. In one place Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. I want to show you a verse over here in the book of Proverbs that I believe will be a blessing to you. I believe it'll help you to take a different look at what we do to help the poor. In chapter 19 and verse number 17, this is what the Bible said. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to who? To the poor? No, it said, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. I thank God that I'm a part of a church that realizes that everybody's not as blessed as we are. We're living in a day when sometimes it's hard to discern. I'm not going to go into it, but on the trip to Houston and back, I ran into many situations where I had to ask God to give me discernment. Lord, are you wanting me to help in this situation? Because I believe a lot of times someone could even appear to be poor that's not poor. I believe sometimes that someone will tell you they want money for food when what they want money for is drugs or alcohol or something else. But I do believe as we go through life, we shouldn't lump all the poor in one barrel. I believe there are some that God wants us to help. But the Word of God said, in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He's teaching us, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so we can, my friend, know that God wants us to do that. We can know that He doesn't want us to help someone for a show or to be seen of men. I believe that makes God sick. We're going to blow a trumpet. Everybody watch what I'm about to do. God said, you've got your reward. Amen. But if you'll do and not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, He said, that's a manner in which you can seek first the kingdom of God. I want to call your attention to a word here. It jumped out at me this morning. It's the word when. In verse number 2, when thou doest thine alms. In verse number 3, when thou doest thine alms. In verse number 5, when thou prayest. In verse number 6, when thou prayest. In verse number 7, when ye pray. In verse number 16, when ye fast. In verse number 17, but when thou fastest. I believe that God is just taking for granted. If a person genuinely gets born again of the Spirit of God, immediately they're going to be a person that's going to be interested in helping somebody else. Immediately. By the way, I won't turn to the text, but this Bible tells us to work. And not just to work for our own family, but work that we might have to give. Amen. How many believes that's taught in the Word of God? Amen. That we might have to give to someone else. And so God is taken for granted that when we get saved, we'll have a heart for others. When we get saved, we'll have a heart to pray. When we get saved, boy, I hope God will hammer this in our hearts and minds today. We need to get back to some fasting, amen, and doing without a meal or doing without a television or doing without something and getting a hold of the God of heaven because there's some needs that only He can meet. Amen. When thou fastest, when thou prayest, seeking first the kingdom of God. I believe this word when tells us that God's just thinking about it like this. It's going to be there. Going to be there in a person's heart that loves me. Brother Thurman, as you taught about this morning, when we love him, how can we love him and not love others? How can we love him and not love to pray? How can we love him and not every once in a while come under such a burden that we want to lay the food aside or lay the hobby aside and get a hold of the God of heaven, amen, that he might do what's needed in our midst. The second thing is the word prayer. When we have someone seeking first the kingdom of God, there's going to be a relationship to the poor that's very important. There's going to be a relationship in prayer to the God of heaven. He said in verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. I'll tell you something. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. If I ever call on you to pray, I believe it should be for every preacher, for every deacon, for every Sunday school teacher, for every Christian. I believe we ought to get back to that, beloved, being honest with God and not being a hypocrite. If I was to call on you to pray and you ain't prayed all week, what you might ought to do is just say, Pastor, it'd be good till I get my heart right if you'd just call on somebody else to pray this morning. You say, Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that keep you from being a hypocrite before God. Amen. It keep you from doing something in public that ain't there in private. And God is putting an emphasis here. When you pray, go in, shut the door. Don't pray to be heard of men. Pray to be heard of God. How many believes that's right? Amen. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want us to be hypocrites. I want us to pray like God told us to do. He said, when thou prayest, don't use vain repetitions in verse number 7, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Every time I read that verse, I think of a radio broadcast up in Maryland. I don't know if you remember it, Miss Eve, but the Catholics would sign off. And it would just over and over and over. I can't even remember exactly what they said, but Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now. And it would just repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over. And I'm not real smart, but I know this, beloved. God's not interested in a form of godliness. He's interested in the power thereof. And I tell you, listen, it's one thing to say words, and it's another thing to say them with a broken heart and know that the God of heaven, Brother Ralph, as the choir sing, he answers my prayer. To know that you got a hold of heaven. You want to know why we get a hold of heaven? You don't want to know what's common every time we get a hold of heaven? Heaven got a hold of us. Amen. If God gets a hold of us, then we can get a hold of heaven. Amen. And I believe that's what's needed. He said, be not you therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Listen up right here. Let me give you something that'll help you. After this manner pray ye, our Father. Those two words ought to break our hearts. That the likes of you and I, beloved, listen, have the privilege to call the likes of him our Heavenly Father. You think about that for just a moment. And then the Bible said this, hallowed be thy name. If we're not careful, beloved, we run into the throne room of God with a list. God, we need you to do this, and we need you to do this, and we need you to do this. God already said, I know about your list. I know about what you need. I know everything that you need. Before it ever comes out of your mouth, I know what you need. But I believe, listen, prayer ought to be about a time of an adoration, a time just to get in front of him and say, Lord, I believe every once in a while we ought to just make it a point to pray without asking for anything. Say, God, I didn't come to ask. I just come to tell you I love you. God, I didn't come to ask. I just come to thank you for saving a wretch like me. God, I didn't come to ask. I just want to thank you for the joy that's in my heart, for the peace that I can lay down tonight and know that if I don't wake up, I'll be in glory. Amen. And just adore him. Listen. I believe the happiest Christians are those that worship God not for what He does, but for who He is. Listen, what He does will change from time to time. What we need will change from time to time. But glory to God, who He is will never change. It'll be the same when the clouds are hanging low or when the sun is shining bright. It'll be the same, amen. And the Word of God is telling us if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, there's a relationship with the poor. There's a relationship in prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, beloved, this prayer, this model prayer that Jesus gives us, it starts out not about us and our needs. He already knows about those. But it starts out, Brother Lance, about Him. Amen. And His will. A lot of people think, listen to me, you can listen to them on the television. They think that prayer is marching into the throne room of God and demanding God to do something. Amen. I'm going to tell you, prayer is not about getting man's will done in heaven. Prayer is about getting God's will done on the earth. That's what prayer is about. And I believe with all of my heart, these children that have been saved, these adults that have been saved, I believe when they begin to pray and talk to God, just worship Him a little while before they ask for anything. Just get before the throne of God and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for loving somebody like me. Thank You, God, for doing what You've done for me. I believe it'll be a blessing to You, and it'll be a blessing to Your Father. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. He begins now in this model prayer to ask. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, asking is definitely part of prayer. He said He knows what we need before we ask, but ask, and you shall receive. I just wanted you to see the order as we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We go into His throne room thinking about, beloved, Him. And not us, Him and His will, and not us and our will. The next word that the Lord spoke to my heart about is the word preeminence. Look in verse 19. If we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, in verse number 19, the Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, for where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Watch verse 21. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, it's a trap. An old devil wants that trap, beloved. Listen, every one of us, he wants to trap us and trip us up. Amen. He wants us, I'm going to say a little bit more about it in just a moment. It talks about the light of the body is the eye. He wants to get our eyes off of Jesus. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He wants to get us, our eyes off of the true treasure. How many believes that the true treasure is that away? It's not this away. Everything down here is going to fry one day after a while. It's going to perish and burn up. But God wants us to keep our eyes on Him. That's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lady that I used to know, her name was Ruth Turnmeyer, Glade Spring, Virginia. Ruth was a blessing. She was an old-timey Christian. She knew how to get a hold of God. And she was a caretaker for a man that was a professor at Radford University for years and years before he retired. And she tried to reach him with the gospel. And boy, he was a hard nut to crack. He just wasn't going to give in. I mean, he's too smart for that. He was too educated for that. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, that's a sad day if you get so much education you don't need the Lord. Amen. That's a sad day. Anybody's heart, amen. True wisdom will seek the Lord. She said to him one day, said, CC, you need to get saved. She said, you can't take all your money with you. He said, oh, yeah, honey. Said, I'm going to have them pack it in the casket all around me. It's going out of here with me. Of course, he was aggravating her a little bit. She said, well, you know what? Come to think of it, Cece, I think that's a good idea. She said, right before they close the lid on you the last time, she said, I'm going to take the cash and write you a check. It'll do you just as much good where you're going. That's what she told him, amen. You see, you can't take it with you. So why wrap your life up in the treasures of this world that moth eats and the rust corrupts and the thieves steal, amen? Hell, we ought to keep our mind and our heart set on Christ, set on our real home. We're pilgrims and we're strangers down here. I'm glad I can report to you this morning that about 3 months before CC passed away, he said yes to the Lamb of God and realized what he had been missing. He was in his upper 80s or lower 90s. He was way up there in years. Almost unheard of for a person that old to be saved. But every once in a while, God rescues one. Amen. Before they leave this world, what a blessing. The last word, you see, the word preeminence, look at verse 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. You've got to choose. Is your master the master of this world? Brother Thurman, you said it right. It's one thing to have treasure, and it's another thing for treasure to have you. It's one thing to have possessions, and it's another thing for possessions to have you. Let me give you an example. I believe if God blesses you with an automobile, you ought to change the oil in it or have somebody change the oil in it. Somebody help me right there. I believe if it needs tires on it, you ought to try to get some tires on it. There's places now you can even buy used tires. You don't have to run tires with the belt showing through on them. But I'll tell you this. I don't believe it's pleasing to God for a Christian to be changing the oil at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. See the difference? I believe when you put God first, amen, all these other things will take care of themselves. My dad used to, this was his testimony. I'm not putting words in his mouth. He raised six children, and we didn't come up rich. We came up rather on the poor side of the tracks. When I went to high school, I had two sets of clothes. I had one of them on, one in the washer. And that was the days of the hippies and the bell-bottoms. I liked those days because I was growing by the inch. I mean, I was just growing, growing, growing. And all you had to do was cut that material off the bottom of them bell-bottoms and sew something on longer. I mean, listen, I stayed skinny as a rail. You don't believe that now, but I was, amen. I graduated a 34 around the waist. You say, what are you now? That ain't none of your business, amen. But I promise you this, it's not a 34. Amen. I'll tell you something. My dad said, I used to think I had to work 7 days a week. He would leave enough undone on Saturday evening to use it for an excuse to get out on Sunday morning, because he knew in his heart where he belonged on Sunday morning was in the house of God. And for years it went that way. But one day Daddy got right with God. He said, son, I figured something out. He said, God can do more in 6 days than I can do in seven. How many believe that? God can do more in 6 days. And he began to honor God with his tithe and with his time and with his talent. And I tell you, God began to honor him. The last word is the word provision. The Bible said about preeminence, I'm trying to get off of that, but you cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to make up your mind. Either this world's going to have the preeminence or your Savior's going to have the preeminence. And I believe if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, the Savior must have the preeminence. The last word's provision, and I'm done. Look in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. I think life is funny sometimes. Don't you? I go through the grocery store. I went through the grocery store yesterday to pick up a few things for the missionary that's staying with us out here, be here tonight. He's in another church this morning. And my wife will tell you, I mean, we'd go through the grocery store. I don't want any pity, but all that real good stuff, that good stuff is round and got a hole in the middle of it. Amen. All that good stuff, when we started out, Brother Randall, we couldn't afford it. And praise God, now we can afford it and we can't have it. Brother Grizzle told me one time, he said, Pastor, if it tastes good, spit it out because it ain't good for you. And that's about the truth. Amen. I have a favorite song. When the rolls are served up yonder, I'll be there. Because up there I can have my rolls without my rolls. Somebody help me. Listen, God's taking care of us. He's providing for us. I can remember, Brother Don, I don't know if I told you this, we started out as missionaries, handing the love offering in the back seat to the girls and letting my girls, at that time, what, Missy, 10, 11, 12 years old? 12. Can't you just give me a break once in a while and say, you know, okay. Now I got the English language and math to put up with, amen. I'd hand it to them in the back seat, Brother Steve. I wanted them to know because it worried them, Brother Steve, when I resigned that church. Daddy no longer had an income. How are we going to make it? I ran into a lady at the grocery store about 3 months after that. She said, what are you doing, Pastor? I said, well, I'm working with my hands and building cabinets. I'm preaching revival meetings and trying to raise support. I'm going with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I said, you know, sis, just because I'm not pastoring doesn't mean the bills don't keep coming. She said, I never thought of that. And I looked at her and said, you and a lot of other people. Say amen. Yes, sir. God took care of us. Them girls, finally, they got to asking this, Brother Rose. They'd say, Daddy, are we going to a big church or a little church? You can relate to this, Brother Aaron. Your brother will tell you. Where there was a handful of people, 40, 45, the offering, it was unbelievable. When there's a great old big church, if you had enough gas to get home on, you was doing good, amen. It just seemed to be that way most of the time, not all the time. But God's been good. God said, don't worry about it. I take care of the fowls of the air. And he said, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? You know, actually, when we're doubting God about our provision, we don't believe that. We don't believe that in his eyes, Brother Kenny, we're much better than they. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, listen, was not arrayed like, it doesn't say all of these. It says one. He said, just take one little lily out there in the field. And even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Fall is upon us. God's fixing to get out his paintbrush. And the colors are going to come alive. And how we ought to just worship him and say, God, I don't want you to be leftovers. I don't want my life to be offering you leftovers. I want you to take the best part of my day, the best part of my life, the best part of my income. And I want you to have it, Lord, because you're worthy. I believe that's good, don't you? He said, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And I'll be honest with you. Brother Thurman, you preached on the words, lovest thou me. There have been times when I've heard my Lord say, oh, ye of little faith, why didn't you just trust me? Why didn't you just believe me? And you feel real small when he does that. But it helps you the next time around. Say, God, I don't want to be there again, doubting you. I want to trust you. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of us. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I hope that the Lord this morning has challenged our hearts. All of us. The new believers, the older believers, the somewhere in the middle believers, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, I'll take care of the rest. You keep your eyes on me. How many knows that everything in this world is fighting against that? How many knows that everything in your flesh is fighting against that? Everything in this world does not want us looking unto Jesus. Everything in our flesh wants us to be distracted. Look here, look here, look here, look here. God said, look unto me first and be saved. That's how people get saved, looking unto him. But then as we live a life of faith, we need to look unto him. I'm just glad you come this morning.